What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero, because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show now, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. And let's see, we have this situation here. This is an article out of the Daily Signal saying that when government tries to censor religious views, it's violating the First Amendment. Well, it certainly violates the part about freedom of speech, but the part of the First Amendment about religion is very often misquoted, taken out of context. The actual text is, Congress shall make no law respecting an institution of religion. What that means is there is no state-approved religion. No one religion is given superiority over another. All religions are on an equal basis. So I think when you're censoring any view, whether it's religious or otherwise, it is a First Amendment situation. Now, this applies to a gentleman named Brian Tingley, who is a licensed marriage and family counselor. For the last 20 years, Tingley's deeply held religious beliefs have been a source of guidance he offers his clients who come to him voluntarily. And they come to seek his advice because his religious beliefs are consistent with their own. And Washington State, however, wants to intervene in these private conversations. So much for patient-therapist confidentiality. And they want to tell Tingley what he can and cannot say. And they specifically passed a law that restricts counselors from helping people who are dealing with gender dysphoria. Okay? All right. Okay, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to Tom in Florida. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, yeah. Hey, good day, Mike. What's on my mind, Mike? So much going on. It's insanity, Mike. What's going on?
Yeah, it is.
It's insane. Before I go to the extension cord cars and talk about these extension cord electric cars, I want to talk what's really going on, Mike. Have you seen the latest news? First off, Mike, have you heard what's going on with Ron DeSantis now being attacked by the Mexican president of Mexico? And even Trump also. They're both racist because the Mexican Obrador is telling them all the Hispanics in this country don't vote for DeSantis or Trump because they're about the border. Mike, if that's true, that's election interference by a foreign government. Isn't that correct?
I would certainly see it that way, yes.
Yes, this is this guy Obrador. He's basically calling DeSantis a racist. He's calling Trump a racist because both of those guys are standing for strong borders. In the meantime, this criminal will not, fentanyl is pouring into this country. This guy will not put his troops on the southern border of Mexico to stop this influx where they're walking 1,000 miles through Mexico to come to Texas and Arizona. This guy should be, I don't know what they should do with this Obrador guy, but this guy is a criminal. This guy is the biggest criminal of all times. This guy, one of them. I can tell you that because what he's allowing, talking crap about a sitting, an ex-president and a sitting governor is shameful, Mike. In the meantime, we're being flooded with millions of illegals, fentanyl's pouring in. By the way, all these Congress people today, Mike, said there's going to be over 150,000 deaths from fentanyl this year by the time the year ends.
Well, you know, the Democrats just voted down that bill that was going to impose harsher penalties for smuggling fentanyl across that border.
Yeah, 123 of them. It was just on the news. They're reporting on it right now. 123 of these criminals, Democrats. Now, Mike, before I go to extension cord cars, and also, Mike, here's a main thing I want you to do, Mike. Have you ever thought about bringing on a guest on your show called Bob Woodson? Have you ever heard of him, Mike? Bob Woodson?
No, I have not.
Well, Mike, you need to archive this and put this on RBN, on your website. This guy, Bob Woodson, and there's another Afro-American gentleman. And, Mike, you know, today I was at the store, and I was in this little Family Dollar store here, and I hear these three blacks, again, using the N-word. They're allowed to get away with the N-word, Mike. And you say that, they'll put you in jail. They call it, they throw that N-word at each other like it's a perfect thing to do. Every day, the girls call the girls N-word. The black boys call each other the N-word. But if you do that, you want to put your ass in jail, Mike. It's crazy. The N-word's being thrown around like it's nothing all over South Florida, all over the country. Nobody's stopping this or music. If white people were to produce the music some of these rappers have, Mike, it would be nuts. They wouldn't allow it. The schmucks wouldn't allow it. Now, here, Mike, here's what I want to go to. This guy, Bob Woodson, Mike, and I didn't know this. This really blew me away. Mike, and when give me blow me away with statistics is pretty heavy. I never knew this. I don't know if you knew this, Mike. This guy Woodson was on Dr. Phil, and he said about reparations, there's no way that any Afro-American should get reparations. He says there was 3,000, let me give you a figure, Mike, there was 3,758 black slave owners in 1855. I'm going to repeat that. In 1855, there was 3,758 slave owners that were Afro-American that had black slaves. He also mentioned in 1618, in the continent of Africa, they called it the Tier Coast, which was Iberia, I guess, wherever they brought them. He says that the blacks were selling each other and killing each other in droves, in the thousands.
Yes.
There was tribal, intertribal warfare. They were eating each other. It was international. I mean, it was, what's the word I'm looking for? It was intertribal warfare. It was intertribal warfare. This guy, Mr. Woodson, who's a black man, he works for poverty. He's like a poverty guy trying to help people get out of poverty. Really intelligent gentleman, Mike. You should look him up. His name is Bob Woodson. He was mentioning in Africa in 1618 how the blacks were just, there were savages. It was utter savagery. And by the way, Mike, I did some research on it, and I was looking at the Jews did finance the slave ships for all these, Portugal, France, England, and Spain. The biggest slave traders of all were the Portuguese. The Spanish were number two. English were number three, and the French were tied. The French and English were basically tied. And most of the slaves that came to North America came through the French and the English. The Portuguese sent them basically all to Brazil, and the Spanish sent them all through the Caribbean islands. Cuba, Jamaica, even, believe it or not, some Jamaicans, English took over Jamaica eventually. But Jamaica used to be run by Spain. I didn't realize that. And actually, there was a Union Jack flying over Cuba. England at one time ran Cuba. Mike, did you know that?
Yep.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting reading all this. But now I'm going back to this Mr. Woodson. He's explaining to Dr. Phil's audience, there's no way reparations should be given out. What are you going to do with all these ancestors of black slave owners that had black slaves in the United States?
Well, they have to pay themselves reparations.
Right, exactly. So he was saying there's nobody entitled to slavery. No American at this time owned slaves. I never owned slaves. My grandfather never owned slaves. My great-grandfather never. None of my family ever owned slaves.
No, okay? My family were abolitionists.
Exactly. So this guy was making some wonderful points. But, Mike, I was totally blown away and shocked that I saw the figure that this guy pumped out was 3,758 black Afro-Americans were slave owners. And he also mentioned, Mike, in the South, the five biggest plantations were basically run by black slave owners.
Yep.
Did you know that, Mike?
Well, I knew there were black slave owners. I didn't know how prosperous they were.
Well, I didn't know either, Mike, and this was never taught to none of the kids in high school. Nobody in my generation was ever taught that there were so many black people who were slave owners. And I thought, why wasn't this brought out in the public school systems, where all these schmucks that are running our school system did not allow the truth to be talked about how the blacks were eating each other in Africa in 1618, how they were killing each other. Mike, the white man didn't go into Africa with these slave ships, like Arsenio, Farrakhan said, without the financing of the Jews. But now also, they didn't go over and say, hey, get on the ship, you're going over there to pick cotton. And by the way, the reason slavery ended, Mike, is according to what I read, the last slave ship came into Havana, Cuba, I believe it was 1820. But the slave trade in the United States ended in 1810. I believe it was the last ship, I think, went into Massachusetts. Well, I think the last slave ship that went into New York was in 1808, if I'm not mistaken.
There was a large enough population of Africans. They were self-sustaining because, they were getting married and having children and so forth and so on.
Right. Yes, Mike. Also, another thing that was very interesting about the slave trade, you know, they actually had forced camps where they were breeding special blacks. They had the different sects of blacks. Some would be the servants, Some would be the big bucks. They would be, you know, picking the cotton. They had actual breeding. They were breeding for 40 years in the United States with slaves. Did you know that, Mike?
I didn't know it, but I'm not surprised.
They were being treated
as livestock, and, you know, farmers do breed livestock to reinforce desirable benefits.
Yes, a top-notch slave, Mike, in around 1800, right around 1801, 1800, top-notch slave was selling for like $1,400, which was a lot of money back in those
days. That was definitely a lot of money.
Yeah, it was. I was learning all this because I was listening to Mr. Woodson, and he's explaining the whole thing about slavery, and I'm like, and he talks about, you know, how the Jews were slaves in Egypt and all that. Slavery's all. Oh, he was talking about the Arabs. The Arabs were probably the biggest slave traders, Mike. Even back up to the mid 1875, they were still trading slaves in that. Africa to the Arabs. Did you know mm-hmm. that?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I mean, slavery has existed throughout history, and it's not always been about the blacks. I mean, the Ottoman Empire, they enslaved a lot of white people.
Yes. Yeah, it's just amazing all the stuff you learn. But, Mike, if you ever could get this guy Bob Whitson on your show for like an hour or two, I think maybe you reach out. Maybe I think you guys probably do your show. It would be very fascinating. Have a guy like him come up on your show.
I am going to try and get more guests on the show. You know, it's just been so busy here. You know, what can I tell you? Anyway.
Yeah, Mike, can I tell you one more thing, Mike?
I got to move on to the next caller.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Mike, I want to talk about these extension cord electric cars, Mike. I was realizing what a scam this is, Mike. These cars all have extension cords. If we ever have an EMP electrical, they take down the electric grid, Mike. We're looking at a national disaster. We're looking at a disaster we couldn't even comprehend.
Yeah.
None of the cars could be moved. Some kind of storm or a massive earthquake, and they're going to try to get rid of the combustion engine? No way, man. This is all a conspiracy, Mike. They'll cripple this country big time. These extension cord cars got to come to an end. We've got to go back to, you know, there's cars that can use a carburation that can get like 80 miles to the gallon. The Volkswagen Golf gets 80 miles to the gallon. That's great. So what's the problem? They got diesel engines that get 80, 90 miles a gallon out. So it's all nonsense, Mike. It's a cabalist nonsense. And with that, Mike, I'll let you go. But, yeah, Mike, I wish you would check out on with this guy Obrador and talk about that more tomorrow on your show about what this guy's talking about, Trump and DeSantis, as being racist because they're trying to defend the United States of America from an invasion in drugs. And prostitution and all the other stuff. So,
okay,
yeah,
before you go, I want to let you know, I actually got emails from people that like the fact that you're talking slower now because now they say they can understand, you know, what the ideas you're putting on out and they can appreciate them more.
Well, I appreciate that too, Mike. You know, I told you, I'm not drinking coffee at this time when I call your show. So I cut my coffee down to like one cup a day. My little shot. I only take a little shot, Mike. I don't drink much coffee. I only take a little espresso.
Again, the difference is notable. You're much easier to understand. You're getting your ideas across. And so we're all cheering for you and saying, well done, Tom. So thank you very much for the phone call here.
Let's prosper.
All right. We're going to go to Dan in Washington State. Hello, Dan. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, Marco's call when he said Trump was the only one because he was a nationalist and a populist, and I kind of agree with that. I've seen the Republicans totally just try to revert back to the 1990s Newt Gingrich. The talking points you read every day. Or the guest you had on about, hey, we should privatize Social Security and welfare to work. And I just think they're going to get their asses kicked. I don't think people are going to support Republicans. I mean, all they got is, trannies are going to get you, which is true, but they've been complete failures on everything else except cutting taxes on billionaires. that I can see. Like, they don't, I think without Trump, they're nothing, in a sense.
Well, we'll see. I mean, we got a long way to go before the election. And, you know, the deep state definitely does not want Trump there, and they may succeed in finding a way to keep him from running. And I want to see what DeSantis is going to do over the next few months before we hit the primary season.
Well, he did the free speech, you know, law that really hurts free speech in Florida. I think he's just a Zionist, and he'll just go to war with Iran, and he'll try to privatize Social Security and then increase defense spending. And I don't know. I don't. The Republicans always do that. They go after social programs and, you know, spend as much money as they can on defense and war, you know. So,
well, that's true of both political parties.
You know,
if there's one thing the Republicans and Democrats always agree on is more money for war.
Yeah, I think the ADL really wants DeSantis. I think, I don't know. I don't trust the guy, but I don't, you know, I think this college loan thing, I think Biden was smart. I think he did that so it would be an issue during the election. And I was flipping through the TV, and I see some Republican talking about basically doing what we were talking about Reagan did, where he created the Social Security Trust Fund, and then Clinton stole it all, right? So we've already been through that, and this Republican was saying the same thing. And I'm just, at the same time, they're spending, you know, hundreds of billions in Ukraine, and, they're just... Republicans are their own worst enemy. I mean, they're just a lot of crappy Republicans, you know? I mean, even the January 6th stuff, you know, it's the Republicans that I saw in the news. There's like a bunch of Republicans saying, no, this was an insurrection. So, you know, is it, they just don't stick together like the Democrats do, and they're
well,
I don't know,
they
what,
should,
what
but
again,
we should not presume that Democrats are the only ones who are profiting from election fraud. It's probably a bipartisan problem.
Yeah, but I'm saying, if the Republicans get their butts beat, you know, I'm not even going to say it's fraud automatically. If all they're going to do is sit there and, you know, say we need to cut welfare and privatize Social Security, who would vote for them? You know, who are these old Rush Limbaugh Republicans out there that, you know, haven't learned their lesson that they're not a billionaire?
you don't have money
in a 401k, you know?
Okay, Dan, from a cerebral, thoughtful point of view, maybe. But most people tend to vote with their wallets, and following their wallets, they tend to vote, you know, on their feelings. And right now, there is an incredible amount of disgust with the liberal democratic agenda. Parents are very angry over this attitude that the state really owns their children and can indoctrinate them. This whole gender indoctrination in the public schools has got a lot of people angry. You go to these videos of these school board meetings, those parents are very, very angry. And that anger is definitely going to be a factor when they're looking at that voting machine.
That's true. That's what I'm saying. That's all they got is trannies right now. Republicans just got trannies to, like,
well,
you know,
no, because, you know, the war in Ukraine is very unpopular. You know, all the money being sent to Ukraine. I mean, it's one thing to say the Republicans are going to cut Social Security and cut all this other money, but look at how many cuts have already been made in order to send money to Ukraine. I mean, we're in a wartime economy. They don't want to admit it, but that's exactly where we are. Anyway, Dan, I got to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be back with more phone calls after these few words.
My name is John, the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Born in the city with a silver spoon, great-grandson of the oil tycoon, raised by wolves, thinks he owns the moon, socialist banker to the one world goons. Davy Rockefeller, chairman of the CFR.
And welcome back to our show here. We're going to go to Tony in Virginia. Hello, Tony. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
This is he. Am I coming through?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. You had a story earlier, and I heard bits and pieces of it somewhere else, and I can't really source it, about this gentleman with the swastika, and that was the evidence, and this and that. And you said it turned out to be an Indian man. Something I'd like to point out to the audience is that the swastika is an ancient sun symbol, and it's an ancient Hindu symbol that goes back thousands of years. But for some reason, for the 2030...
It's a very common symbol in a lot of different cultures. Hitler discovered the symbol. He sang in the choir at the monastery at Lombach, Germany, where it was a design motif carved into the door frames, and that's where he got it. And so when he set up the Nazi party, he said, that's the symbol we're going to use in the middle of our flag. There's no question, of course, that the flag they found was the Nazi flag. It was the black swastika in the white circle on the red field.
Correct. And it predates that, just like the Roman salute predates that. But for some reason, just because a small segment of our population is offended because of this, their event in history, which, and this is what it really boils down to, and that's where the war in the culture is. And I'm glad that Tom is starting to dig a little more and bring up more of these topics, because, and that's what critical race theory is. They want to spin this, right?
No, they went over and they did get slaves, but they were sold by other blacks. They weren't stealing them out of the wild the way they usually portrayed in the movies. And I understand if that's painful to a black person. I mean, but the other thing is we're playing musical chairs with this, right? Because when was there not slavery? I mean, there was a time when you could beat your wife. And at that time, you could. And it's not like it was only being practiced here. It was being practiced all around the world at the time, right?
Have you ever heard the expression, the rule of thumb? That actually originated with a law that said you could beat your wife with a stick, but the stick could be no wider than your thumb.
Right, correct. And another thing people don't realize is, like that term, the HNC, the head in charge, right? Okay, what people don't realize, we let black men vote before we let white women vote. And when the master of the house would leave, okay, he was in charge, not the guy's wife. Okay, that was the order of the way things were back then. And people don't realize that, right? They got to vote first. I mean, and it's not to justify it or to say that it's right. But they want to teach this thing like they were out there just beating them day and night. And I mean, who buys a horse or a dog or something and abuses it, right? Now, it sounds crazy like you're defending this. And that's another problem with just the whole history narrative. And this is how we get sucked into all these wars, because everybody gets caught up in this A-B situation. Well, look, there are no good people. They're just bad and worse.
Yep. Okay.
You know, anyway, so I want to put that out there. That's an ancient symbol. And the same thing with that mustache. That was a popular thing at the time. It's like never again can anyone even, can you know. So that just lets you know how well they control the narrative. I'll just put it that way. And thank you for your time.
All right. Well, Tony, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to go to Brian in Pennsylvania. And, Brian, I may have to take you through the next commercial break. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, can you hear me okay?
Yes, you're on the air.
I'm going to make everybody mad at me, so just so you know, I'm going to rip into Trump a little bit. Everybody keeps defending Trump, and yet everybody can't see they're being played. The Democrats want Trump to be the nominee because they know they can win, because there isn't enough Republicans to win, because the independents hate Trump. The independents don't care. If everybody look at the poll, Trump is like the least
Hello?
Republicans.
Okay, you dropped out there for a second.
I got good signal. Everybody can't see that they're just being played, and the Democrats are doing everything possible to make sure Trump is the nominee. Because they know that they could easily beat him because, one, he gave us the Trump shots, he gave us the unconstitutional firearm accessory ban, and it turns out he was trying to ban bump stocks in December of 2020. It's like all these things that Trump does that just stab us in the back constantly, and everybody's like, yeah, he's the greatest dude ever. And it's like, what has Trump actually done other than, like, everybody must have sleptwalked through 2020. I mean, I wish I could have called in March. March 13th was the three-year anniversary of Trump's emergency order. 3 years on an emergency order. It's insane. And yet, everybody breezes past all of the stabs in the back that Trump does to us and thinks that he's going to somehow be this magical savior in 24. And all he's going to do is did you happen to see the video that DeSantis put out of Trump in at the Oval Office with Feinstein and Schumer saying that he wanted to ban assault weapons?
I didn't see that one. And again, in this age, we have to be very careful about deep fakes. Anyway, Brian, I'm going to let you go here. Thank you very much for the phone call. We got to take another break for commercials. We'll be back with more phone calls.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And welcome back to the show here. And I understand that people have got very strong feelings about Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump, but you're missing the point. It almost doesn't matter who wins the Republican nomination during the primary season, because the Democrats are going to steal the 2024 elections because there's nobody there to stop them. And we do need to keep that focus on the fact that our elections are completely unreliable and it's a serious, serious problem here. All right, we're going to go back to the phones now to Rick in Arizona. Hello, Rick. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
A few little short jokes. I just hope Tom gets his own show. I'm going to predict a Trump victory, and it's going to set everybody back to Trump's going to be he's going to win, and then everybody's going to go back to, you know, they're going to be satisfied and the election wasn't rigged, and he's going to make gun grabbing great again. Because that caller that was before about him wanting to grab assault weapons, I don't know about that. But I got a video of Trump badgering the senators to come up with a national red flag law. And he said, I want to take the guns first. And then Pence said, no, we should do due process first. And Trump said, no, I want to take the guns first and due process later. I've got the video clip, Mr. Rivero.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. And, you know, the issue of the red flag laws, you know, is a complex one. Now, obviously, I'm a firm supporter of the Second Amendment. I come from an age where gun safety was taught in the schools. Schools had shooting clubs with firearms donated as from military surplus. But there are, unfortunately, some people like those who are on these psychotropic drugs that I think maybe ought to be restrained from having access to firearms. So it's kind of a very gray area there. The other thing I want to comment on is, again, with all of this artificial intelligence out there, we're going to see a lot of deep fake photos and videos and audios, and we just have to be really, really careful that we don't get caught up. I got stung by a couple of hoaxes myself recently, and you know, we just have to really, really be careful all, about that, okay? So what else do you want to talk about?
Okay, the slave trade. You know, when Isabella evicted the Jews, they needed something to do. So they took their ships and they started running around, the Atlantic Ocean. And they ran across and they traded some rum for some slaves and they went to Brazil. And from Brazil, the British were over on Barbados with the Irish.
Yes.
And the Irish died off of yellow fevers. That left the British without a labor force. Well, the Jews having their best intelligence, they went to Barbados and delivered the first blacks to the British. And from there, the black slaves made it to the Carolina coast. Now, when Columbus got done with his voyages, Queen Isabella awarded Columbus the island of Jamaica. And Columbus made it a sanctuary island for Sephardic Jews that were not too safe underneath the Queen's rule. So,
oh
Jamaica,
yeah, no question about that. I mean, you know, my ancestors
Jamaica
got caught
full
up in that.
Yeah. Okay, well, Jamaica is full of Sephardic Jews. The nobility over there is very Jewish, and so here we have Harris, who's a vice president, whose father is from Jamaica. Guarantee you, I'd be willing to bet that Harris is Jewish, and she's married to the most powerful lawyer in the country, the entertainment lawyer, Emhoff, and I guarantee you, he wouldn't marry no Shitska. She's Jewish. He married her. She's Jewish. Harris is Jewish, and I won't be surprised that if you did some really digging that they were slave owners. Thanks for taking the call.
All right, you've got it here, and we're going to go to Jerry in Chicago. Hello, Jerry. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Thanks a lot for taking my call. Hey, real quick, I just wanted to add on what Tom was saying. Tom in Florida. Hey, he mentioned about having a guest on, which I think is a pretty good idea, not every day. But, hey, I have a guy that I think he'd be pretty interesting to have on. His name is Harry Cooper. He has a website called sharkhunters.com. And just to listen to this guy tell his story, And what he's seen and everything else like that with the U-boats and the Germans and everything else like that, I think everybody would get an idea that the Germans weren't the Huns that they were made out to be in World War II. And I think we're all getting to learn that a little bit more. Plus, I'm 25% German. And, that's all I had to say. And if you can switch me back to the board op, I'd like to make a donation.
Okay, well, Jerry, thank you very much for supporting RBN. And, Mike, I'll let you take care of that. And we're going to switch over to John in Colorado. Hello, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good afternoon, Mike. Tom talking about Bob Woodson. John Stadler brought him on a couple years ago. And I remember he had him on once or twice more after that. And this is, as an African-American, he's talking about the other, thinking about his own people, but, not getting them upright and straight. Not like, let's do the status quo and all the stuff that's going on, turn the crime. It's too bad that he hasn't been on. I don't know if anybody thought about bringing him on. If you wanted to, and I know you don't bring all guests all the time, but some of these other people haven't taken up on that. Let's listen to what he has to say and some other questions that they're not going to be asked, or the mainstream definitely. I was surprised that Dr. Phil had him on. You'd think why he would, but maybe he had something to say. I'm glad on mainstream had him on something like that. But that's a real good thing that something like that. And there's other people I read about after subscribing to American Free Press and the old Spotlight News, they had a lot of alternative, you know, African-Americans, religious pastors and that, and all kinds of other stuff, that without listening to them on American Free Press and that, you'd never hear them anywhere in the mainstream. So it's good that that came on. I'm glad it is. I was going to say, the story that I talked to Michael Herzog the other day that I saw on the ESPN TV, the sports network, there was a little blurb. They didn't talk, but I saw one of those little blurbs at the bottom that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has an award he gives out for in social justice. And the winner this year was Steph Curry, the Golden State Warriors. And it made me think, knowing Abdul-Jabbar's background, he's talked about the white men and they should be taken out or something like that. You know, never hear about it, but it's interesting, you know, when you say social justice, I think I know what that means.
Yeah.
But those kind of things, you know, you don't hear about it and nobody talks about it. Most of the commentators you hear about on ESPN are black commentators, whether they go or that. I remember that Michael Herzog had a video of LeBron James saying the same thing about the white man must go. I don't know where it came from, how you get to it, or if it's still around or that. But I joked about it at the time. He was LeBron James was making a comment about nothing to do with white, but he's talking about sports. He's wearing a T-shirt that said, "I can't breathe." And that reminds me of the George Floyd, "I can't breathe." He goes, well, I wonder if he's not taking.
Yeah, I actually had a COVID face mask that said "I can't breathe" on it as well.
Yeah, well, it's funny. Just thought of LeBron. Well, you're saying that. Does that mean you're taking fentanyl? I don't know. I don't care.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because the autopsy report on George Floyd was finally released, and they didn't find any signs of physical injury on him, but boy, he was loaded up on drugs. He died of an overdose. And those police officers who were thrown in jail, okay, their lawyers need to immediately file for new trials.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. As a taxpayer in the state of Minnesota, I'd go back and said, why, you know, we want to rescind all that money you gave to his family. You want to give them a few dollars, but not what they gave to them. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, Mike. Anyway, thanks a lot. Have a good
day. All right, you've got it, and we're going to go to Liberty Lady in Florida. Hello, Lib. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. I've been listening to you for years, and I don't normally call in because I'm listening to the rebroadcast on in BitChute and so forth in the evening, but I had to make time to call in when you're live because I had to tell you that the guest that you had on last Thursday, the 18th, May 18th,
yes,
that is the author of the book called Government, the Biggest Scam.
Yes.
And it's found at government-scam.com. And he is probably the most important guest of your career. Now, you won't necessarily feel that way now or recognize that, but I'm going to tell you why this is probably the most important guest that you've ever had on. He goes by the name Etienne de la Boetie Squared, which isn't that memorable. Obviously, it's a pen name. But before I point out why he's probably the most important guest, I want to comment on how you've voiced from time to time how rough it can be to do your job because it's depressing and it's hard not to despair and it's just reporting bad news over and over again and things just get worse. And that is because nothing does work, that we are really not given solutions. And we have tried everything, and I've done this journey too, but we've tried rabble-rousing, we've tried talking to people, you especially have been exposing the corruption and the injustice for years. We protest, we wave signs, we shout at government buildings, we try voting, we try petitions, we try lawsuits, and these people in government just keep doing whatever it is they want to do and carrying out their generations-long agendas. So if you, this is my communication to you personally before I go on to the author, but I would love to see you enjoy this. If you want to stop feeling old and defeated and depressed and spend the rest of your life excited and optimistic and purposeful, listen to this guy. And I haven't read his book, but he made a beautiful point when he spoke on your show. He said he has managed to digest these ideas down into the quickest way to convey them to people and wake people up with ideas and solutions that we have never been offered before. And of course, we're very used to the left-right paradigm, and it's almost impossible for third parties to get in. But he's taking it even further. He described himself as a voluntarist, and a voluntarist at rock bottom believes that nothing should be compelled and forced, that society operates on a voluntary consenting basis. Well, government is force, and you're forced to pay taxes, and you're forced to be regulated and all this without your consent. Now, I haven't read his book, but I've read the original book by Étienne de la Boétie from 1577, he was in the 1560s, 1577. And that book is called The Politics of Obedience, a discourse of voluntary servitude. Changed my life and changed my viewpoint of this whole political thing. I know you're ready to say something. I actually would like to give four titles before we're done that will completely do a 180 on anybody's point of view on what we're up against in government, because they are real solutions. These are short books. They're free PDF. YouTube. I like to listen to audiobooks because I have no time to read books. But free audio books when I'm doing dishes or driving or whatever. And again, you may not jump on this, but I would also like to invite other callers who have become voluntarists, as I have over the years. And I was a libertarian starting in the late 80s and have progressed in the last few years to this position of voluntarist. If we don't get these ideas out here of what our options really are, what liberty really is, we're doomed. But these are real solutions. And voluntarists, I'd like to conclude by saying, are the Galileos of our time. That it took some generations for some new ideas to come to the forefront, like kings are not ruling by God's divine right, or women should have a vote, or there shouldn't be slavery. Well, these things changed politics forever. Well, for us to really change, the next big change is the voluntarists. They are the Galileos of our time. And it may be a multi-generational change, but that we it's time to move on from what we have, because to try to say, we just have to get them to obey the Constitution. Okay, the Constitution was great. It moved us forward, but it was an experiment and it failed. But what's next? Voluntarism.
Well, it sounds like a nice idea, and like any other political system, it's going to work perfectly on a population made up of saints. And the downfall of any political system, whether it's capitalist or socialist or communist or fascist, is that the people are not saints, and the people who are not saints tend to be drawn to the positions of power in that political structure. And so I'm not sure it could really work in the real world.
I understand that, because as Madison said, that if all men were angels, then we wouldn't really need government, and we wouldn't, have to have men in government who were angels, right? And that is almost the kernel or the crux of voluntarism, is that whenever you have a government system, it is going to draw the worst of the worst. So to try to keep getting good people in there is just doomed. But if you take away this mechanism called government and face the fact that it's it's like a blowtorch in the hands of a psychotic arsonist, right? They love it. But you take the mechanism away, it doesn't mean a utopia. No, it's not. It's going to be messy, yes, because freedom is messy. But it's going to make that the bad so much smaller by comparison to the scale of violence and harm and murder that governments carry out on this massive scale, that to have it occur on what you might call a private level is almost petty by comparison and can be dealt with. And a quick illustration of this is government death in the last 100 years is 262 million non-combat deaths. 262 million, that's democide. And private or non-governmental death is 8 million. So who is really dangerous here? So it's obviously the government.
No question there. I mean, the government we have now has really exploded past its original constitutional limitations. And what the Founding Fathers recognized is that there is a need for small, limited government to organize for the community what the community needs but cannot organize for themselves. But unfortunately, governments always seek to expand. In many ways, they're not unlike a cancer on the society, just growing and growing and growing. Anyway, as I said, it sounds really good. I see practical problems in the real world on that. And somewhere down the road, there may be a perfect system. But until we are able to basically, come up with better human beings, I think we're going to go on thrashing around. Now, I know the liberals firmly believe that by controlling all aspects of our lives, they can engineer perfect, good human beings. But that all goes back to Margaret Mead's coming of age on Samoa, which turned out to be a completely fraudulent work that's been discredited, and yet that's the whole foundation for modern liberalism. Anyway, Liberty, we're getting close to the end of the show here. I got a couple more calls I need to get to. Thank you very much. We're going to go to Dave in Maryland. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, Mike? Thank you for actually letting me get a word in. I appreciate it, man. That last caller is like, she just trying to push her book and some bullshit. Anyway, Trump.
Well, it's not her book. She's just a big fan of it.
Trump is a traitor to the United States of America, and I don't want you to go down in history to be an apologist to him, Mike, because it's a bad look, because every time somebody brings up...
I'm not apologizing for him. In fact, I'm very angry with him that he had the opportunity to clean... Hang on. I'm very angry with him that he had the opportunity to clean up the election system, and he punted, and he paid for it in 2022.
Forget about the election system, just what he did when he was in office. He banned fucking all types of stuff. Trust me, as a person that got affected by red flag laws from political speech that didn't work out with the police, it bothers me. He's a loser. He's a traitor to America. He was friends with Epstein his whole life. Flew on his plane, a New York Democrat.
It's hard to find somebody who wasn't friends with Epstein in Washington, D.C.
Okay, cool. All right, that's fine. So don't push him then. You keep trying to make excuses and
I'm not pushing him. Dave, I said earlier in the show, I want to see what DeSantis is going to do.
He flew to Israel on his first day in office and made anti-first American hate speech laws protecting Israel.
Oh, okay. All right, thing. Dave, I get it. You don't like Trump. You like DeSantis. But again, it's almost moot.
No, I don't like DeSantis either. No, I don't.
Who do you like?
Mouth, Mike. What are you
who do you like?
No, stop this, man.
Dave, who
Listen,
do you like?
As a follower of this show for
Dave,
years,
who do you like?
I donate to you. I help you out. You are messing up, Mike. I'm telling you, Trump is a traitor to the United States
who
of America.
Who do you like? And, who do you like instead of Trump?
None of them. You think I believe any of this left-right paradigm nonsense?
Well, then why aren't you bashing on DeSantis? Why aren't you bashing on Biden?
No,
you're bullshit,
Mike. You're
obsessing about Trump.
No, okay? You're not even listening to what I'm saying, man.
Yeah,
no,
I am
he's
listening
a
to what you're
to
saying.
United
I've heard
States
the same your rhetoric from several phone calls now. It's getting repetitive.
No, because you always try to cut me off, too, and then you backstage me and like, put him on hold and stuff. You don't ever let me speak my point. That's
You've made
thing.
Your point
Mike,
several
all these
times.
People are traitors to the United States of America.
Okay, that's the fourth time you've said that.
Are waking up to it, and you're pushing the narrative, Mike, and you're making yourself look bad.
I am not like pushing
you're
a narrative,
to,
okay?
Mike, listen, you don't want to.
Okay, Dave, we're getting close to the end of the show. I got another call I got
to
get to.
I know.
Thank you very much. All right, Miles in Maine. We're going to. What's on your mind?
Yeah, that was a great reply. Dave's just a radical out of the Baltimore, Maryland area, a bit of a socialist.
Yeah, I think he's good friends with that other guy up in New York.
Yeah, absolutely. But in regards to the woman, no, the Constitution didn't fail her. The Constitution hasn't failed us. The people failed the Constitution is the problem.
Yeah, I think that's a much more accurate way of putting it.
And as far as Trump, I'm with you, Mike. Show me better, because he's been the best president, and I don't agree with everything Trump does.
I've got serious issues with Donald Trump, and I'm really eager to see. I mean, DeSantis has done some really good things down in Florida that I applaud him for. Now, nobody's going to be the perfect candidate. Okay, what we're looking for is the one who is best for the country. And yeah, there's going to be some pimples and wrinkles that we're going to have to ignore. Well, because there's nobody who's 100% good or 100% bad. It's a continuum. And
there's nobody that can endure all that Trump has, period. And they come after Trump for a reason, and it's not because he's their favorite son. Okay? And as far as performance, Trump's made a couple mistakes, two or three. But, where's Joe from Tennessee? Because he'll lay it out there. Are you happy with your $4, $3, and $4, $5 gallon of gas? Are you happy with your grocery prices? Are you happy with all this other stuff?
Definitely not. Definitely not. I mean,
Trump
Claire and I are on a fixed income, and we're really struggling right now.
Exactly. Trump dropped the baton in the relay a couple times, but he threw us a couple nice fat bones, and nobody can deny that. And
true.
And like I said, I don't agree with all the things Trump did, but people now, this is becoming already like we're talking about World War II or something. We're having Trump revisionist history. But go back and visit the record, and you'll see Trump did some pretty amazing things, even if he just held off World War III. With that, Michael, have a great show. You always do. It's great to have you out there. It's great to have a cogent thinker like you, and we appreciate you. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for the kind words here. And again, all this rancor between Trump and DeSantis and so forth is secondary to the fact that in all probability, the Democrats are going to rig the 2024 elections like they did in 2022, 2020, 2016, going all the way back and so forth and so on. That is the biggest problem facing this country, is the election system is dishonest. And until we fix that, we're not going to be able to peacefully solve any of the other problems facing this country. Anyway, we're at the end of the show here. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report. Peter Serafine is taking the microphone tonight. Please spread the word of republicbroadcasting.org. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Please continue to support RBN during these very difficult times. We'll be back tomorrow, Friday. So aloha, America.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.